Chapter 23. Some jerk instructor at the Fort Rucker MP school had once trotted out the tired old cliché, "To assume makes an ass out of you and me." He had demonstrated at the classroom chalkboard, dividing the word into ass, you, and me. On the whole, Reacher had agreed with him, even if the guy was a jerk. But sometimes, assumptions just had to be made. And right then, Reacher chose to assume that however half-baked the despair cops might be, they wouldn't risk shooting with bystanders in the line of fire. So he pulled to the curb outside the family restaurant and got out of Vaughn's truck and took up a position leaning on one of the restaurant's floor-to-ceiling plate-glass windows. Behind him, the same waitress was on duty. She had 9 customers eating late lunches, a trio, a couple, 4 singletons, equally distributed around the room. Collateral damage, just waiting to happen. The window glass was cold on Reacher's shoulders. He could feel it through his shirt. The sun was still out, but it was low in the sky and the streets were in shadow. There was a breeze. Small eddies of grit blew here and there on the sidewalk. Reacher unbuttoned his cuffs and folded them up on his forearms. He arched his back against the cramp he had gotten from sitting in the Chevy's undersized cab for so long. He flexed his hands and rolled his head in small circles to loosen his neck. Then he waited. The cop showed up 2 minutes and 40 seconds later. The Crown Vic came in from the west and stopped 2 intersections away and paused, like the guy was having trouble processing the information visible right in front of him. The truck parked, the suspect just standing there. Then the car leapt forward and came through the four-ways and pulled in tight behind the Chevy, its front fender 8 feet from where Reacher was waiting. The cop left the engine running and opened his door and slid out into the roadway. Deja vu all over again. Big guy, white, maybe 40, black hair, wide neck, tan jacket, brown pants, the groove in his forehead from his hat. He took his Glock off his belt and held it straight out, two-handed, and put his spread thighs against the opposite fender and stared at Reacher across the width of the hood. Sound tactics, except for the innocence behind the glass. The cop called out, "Freeze!" "I'm not going anywhere," Reacher said. "Yet." "Get in the car."
"Make me."
"I'll shoot." "You won't." The guy went blank for a beat, and then shifted his focus beyond Reacher's face to the scene inside the restaurant. Reacher was absolutely certain that the Despair PD had no officer-involved shooting investigative team, or even any kind of officer-involved shooting protocol, so the guy's hesitation was down to pure common sense. Or maybe the guy had relatives who liked to lunch late. "Get in the car," the guy said again. Reacher said, "I'll take a pass on that." He stayed relaxed, leaning back, unthreatening. "I'll shoot," the cop said again.
"You can't. You're going to need backup."
The cop paused again. Then he shuffled to the left, back toward the driver's door. He kept his eyes and the gun tight on Reacher and fumbled one-handed through the car window and grabbed up his Motorola microphone and pulled it all the way out until its cord went tight. He brought it to his mouth and clicked the button, said,
"Bro, the restaurant, right now."
He clicked off again and tossed the microphone back on the seat and put both hands back on the gun and shuffled back to the fender. And the clock started ticking. One guy would be easy. 2 might be harder. The second guy had to move, but Reacher couldn't afford for him to arrive. No sound except the idling cruiser and the distant clash of plates inside the restaurant kitchen.
"Pussy," Reacher called. "A thing like this, you should have been able to handle it on your own."
The cop's lips went tight, and he shuffled toward the front of the car, tracking with his gun, adjusting his aim. He reached the front bumper and felt for the push bars with his knees.
came on around, getting nearer. He stepped up out of the gutter onto the sidewalk. Reacher waited. The cop was now on his right, so Reacher shuffled one step left to keep the line of fire straight and dangerous and inhibiting. The Glock tracked his move, locked in a steady two-handed grip. The cop said, "Get in the car." The cop took one step forward. Now he was 5 feet away, one cast square of concrete sidewalk. Reacher kept his back against the glass and moved his right heel against the base of the wall. The cop stepped closer. Now the Glock's muzzle was within a foot of Reacher's throat. The cop was a big guy, with long arms fully extended and both feet planted apart in a useful combat stance. Useful, if he was prepared to fire, which he wasn't. Taking a gun from a man ready to use it was not always difficult. Taking one from a man who had already decided not to use it verged on the easy. The cop took his left hand off the gun and braced to grab Reacher by the collar. Reacher slid right, his back hard on the window, washed cotton on clean glass, no friction at all, and moved inside the cop's aim. He brought his left forearm up and over, fast. One, two, and clamped his hand right over the Glock and the cop's hand together. The cop was a big guy, with big hands, but Reacher's were bigger. He clamped down and squeezed hard and forced the gun down and away in one easy movement. He got it pointing at the ground and increased the squeeze to paralyze the cop's trigger finger, and then he looked him in the eye and smiled briefly and jerked forward off his planted heel and delivered a colossal headbutt direct to the bridge of the cop's nose. The cop sagged back on rubber legs. Reacher kept tight hold of the guy's gun hand and kneed him in the groin. The cop went down more or less vertically, but Reacher kept his hand twisted up and back so that the cop's own weight dislocated his elbow as he fell. The guy screamed, and the Glock came free pretty easily after that. Then it was all about getting ready in a hurry. Reacher scrambled around the Crown Vic's hood and hauled the door open. He tossed the Glock inside and slid in the seat and buckled the seatbelt and pulled it snug and tight. The seat was still warm from the cop's body, and the car smelled of sweat. Reacher put the transmission in reverse and backed away from the Chevy and spun the wheel and came back level with it in the wrong lane, facing east, just waiting.